You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Hey, this is Lee Baucom. Welcome to this podcast. Today's podcast is one of those based on one of the things that I often hear. It's interesting to watch. Over time, I've noticed that there's a recurring theme. Sometimes I keep hearing the same things over and over again. You may not be surprised by that, but many people have the same kind of questions, same kind of concerns about their marriage. And just earlier today and last week, I was thinking about this same topic because earlier today, somebody said, hey, can you tell me what you could do to maybe head off an affair or head off an inappropriate relationship? And the person was referencing the fact that I have information about what do you do to recover from an affair, but wouldn't it be better to stop it ahead of time? And that's absolutely true. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't find me until after the damage has been done. And so that was why I was approaching it that way. But it's absolutely true that there are some things you can do to kind of not just about affairs, but kind of head off bad situations ahead of time. Now, last week, I had another email that just reminded me of this, and there have been several others during these past couple of weeks that hit on the same topic. But last week, the person said, you know, the problem is my husband's a little sarcastic, and then after he's sarcastic, I don't want to do anything other than have a fight with him. You know, it gets me all wound up, and I start saying things I don't want to say, and suddenly we're having a fight, and all based on the fact that he started with this sarcasm. Well, that's not exactly entirely true. What really spun it out of control was not the sarcasm, but the response to the sarcasm. It didn't mean it was her fault. It's just that she's putting it on the other person. You know, there's a stopping point at any point in any interaction, and we have to choose where we're going to be at that stop point. And so today I wanted to talk about a topic that is a recurring theme for me. I hear it many times, and that's about the subject of boundaries. And what I mean by boundaries, I have a whole chapter in part of my system and part of the blueprint on setting those boundaries. And it seems important enough to me for me to enlarge upon that a little bit in this and talk some about what that's about. And so let's just kind of talk for a minute about what a definition of a boundary might look like. So a boundary is how you expect others to treat you, how you expect yourself to be treated, and what you will not let others do to you. Really, in some ways, it's a marker of where you end, you know, where it's not allowed for them to come into your area. Before we moved, we had a backyard that had a fence, and the fence ran around and ran across our drive right at the bottom of our driveway, and there was obviously a gate there. And one of the interesting things about our fenced backyard is I always assumed that if you fenced it, nobody would go in there. No, nobody would go in unless they're invited in, right? The fence marked my property as I claimed it. It marked my property. And yet a number of times we had a neighbor who had a dog that would wander into our backyard on a leash, leading the neighbors into our backyard. And we could never conceive of what would happen with that. And we finally had several times said, you know, we're not sure we're really comfortable with that. It kind of scares our dog. It scares our kids. We would rather you not do that. And their response was, well, you know, what do you want us to do? The dog goes back there. And so I learned along the way that I had to actually latch that fence, I had to close it off because they kept crossing over. And I want you to have that picture of a fenced backyard, because that's kind of what a boundary is. Sometimes we find ourselves at two ends of that spectrum. There are some people who have no fence, no markings of where their property is, and people can just walk across their yard whenever they want. They cut through and they leave tracks and trails, and that's kind of like people who don't have any boundaries, and people just run all over them and take advantage of them and treat them poorly. Then there are those who build, you know, something that looks like the Great Wall of China that's impenetrable and make sure that nobody can get to them. And you probably know people who have backyards like that. And they might have good reasons. You know, they might have big dogs, or they may have pools that they're trying to keep people from. But, you know, the 8-foot-tall fences that you can't even see through. And there's no way that they have any connection to that outside world. that's when the boundary, if somebody, you know, like is like that with it, with their own psychological boundaries, is so high that they are just hiding and protecting themselves. And so the problem is, it's real easy to be at the extremes. It takes no effort. If you want to keep everybody out of your life, never to be hurt, never to be loved, you can build high fences that make sure that nobody can get to you. The high walls will protect you from people mistreating you. They just happen to also keep you from having human interaction with people. And then at the other end are the people who have no boundaries. And they're mistreated, and they can't figure out why people keep taking advantage of them, and yet they have no point when they say, hey, that's not okay. Now, that's easy to do because you don't have to monitor it. It's just painful. And so the two ends end up being kind of the simple solutions that do nothing for our life and do nothing for our relationships. So if you think of it more like a fence marks the area. It tells people where they should be able to go on your property line. But if they really wanted to, they could get through, and you could talk to them over that fence line, and you have some rights within that frame. And so think of the boundaries more like a fence. It marks your boundaries. People might cross over, and you have to say, hey, you know what? You need to get off my property. Or you may say, hey, I'm glad you're over here. Let's sit down and talk. It gives you the capacity of moderating that area by saying, I need you on the other side of the fence, or, hey, come on into my area. Let's chat. So one of the things you notice is that one of the reasons that we often have very emotional outbursts is because we don't have those boundaries. We haven't been monitoring those boundaries. We haven't been taking care of ourselves. And whenever that happens, we're at a much higher risk of feeling at threat. Not necessarily that you are a threat, but you feel the risk of threat. And when we have a risk of threat, it ups how we respond. We respond more defensively. We respond more angrily. We respond more antagonistically. And all of that is based on the fact that we're afraid that something's going to happen because we haven't been clear about how we should be treated. So boundaries allow us to reset that. It basically allows us to make sure that others know where we end and what's okay in how they come into our area, how they come into our personal space. Now, there are both personal boundaries, meaning how I want to be treated, and then there are relational boundaries, meaning how I expect us to treat our family and us as a couple, for instance. Those are two relational boundaries. And so sometimes when we have young kids, we protect their boundaries because kids don't know how to. And so as they're learning how to protect their boundaries, a parent might say, hey, you know what? You need to back off a little bit. That's not okay. And then there are times when a couple might have boundaries as a way of protecting their relationship. Now, a couple boundary are those parameters that both agree that they're going to protect. Both agree that they're going to monitor those areas, and it can come in lots of different areas. How they interact with people of opposite sex, how they interact on social media, how they interact out in public, in bars, at dinners, at the office. All of those pieces are boundaries. How we're going to protect our relationship by what we allow to come towards us as individuals. Those are the boundaries of our relationship, and they're very important to monitor those as well as our personal boundaries. One thing I can tell you from my work for years as a therapist and a coach is that boundaries are one of the most underdeveloped parts of most people's psyche. They don't understand that they are responsible for deciding how people are going to treat them. And we all can look back on times when maybe we didn't have the capacity of setting our boundaries. This is where it starts. We don't learn boundary setting very well because sometimes we have parents who are a bit invasive, or friends who are a bit invasive in our lives, and we don't stop it. And so then we start giving in, or we feel like we're going to lose a relationship unless we allow the person to, in some ways, violate our boundaries. And so you put up with it. And so in many ways, we learn to not monitor our boundaries. And so then we have to, at some point in our adulthood, say, you know what, I'm going to take responsibility for my life. Again, another topic that I talk often about is that personal responsibility, not personal blame, Not, it's your fault this happened, but what is my response ability, my ability to respond to the situation around me? How do I take on the fact that I do have a capacity of responding? How do I take on the capacity that I can decide how I'm going to be treated in the world and how people are going to relate to me? Not only that, but how I'm going to relate to them, which is really about standards. So let's talk about some things that boundaries are not. Boundaries are not about controlling the other person. And this is one that we really have to be careful about. Sometimes we want people to act in certain ways, not how they treat us, but just how they act in the world. And so controlling the other person has nothing to do with a boundary. You know, it's like if I were to say to my neighbors, hey, you can't go in anybody's yard. I don't have that capacity. But I can say, you can't come in my yard. So stopping them from how they treat you is the sense of a boundary, not how they act. You may have people around you that yell at everyone, but that's not okay with you. One of the things you may notice is that there are people in your world who get a response that's about respect, and that people see their boundaries almost unconsciously. The more work we do on our boundaries, the more we take them in, the more they become us, the more we almost exude that. We almost, people know how to treat us. Think about people you know that nobody would ever dream of yelling at or making demands of or in any way mistreating except with full respect. Think of those people, and you know people who have created boundaries, whether they meant to, whether they did it consciously, or whether it just was luck, they have set their boundaries. So that's one way of thinking about how what happens when we don't have those boundaries is that people are more likely to be pushing against us. In fact, one of the signs that you need to set your boundaries is because you can look back and say, wow, I am constantly having my boundaries violated. And you'll figure that out as we talk a little bit more about that. So remember, boundaries are not about controlling the other person. It's about stopping them from mistreating you. It's about teaching them how to treat you, not how they act. How they act is up to them. Also, a boundary is not a demand. I've heard some people say, okay, here's my boundary. You have to do this. That's not a boundary. You will is different than you may not. You have to whatever. You have to always love me every day is not a boundary. You may not yell at me is a boundary. You have to treat me nicely like a queen or a king all the time is not a boundary. That's a demand. You may not take advantage of me in these ways. That's a boundary. So if you're thinking about the difference between you will and you may not, you'll know the difference between a demand and a boundary. A demand is based in you will do this. A boundary is you may not do this. Okay, another thing it's important about boundaries is they are not done to the other person. They're done for yourself. And let me tell you what I mean by that. I've done some teaching, some seminars on boundaries, and I remember I was at a church, and I was doing several weeks on boundaries, on how to create appropriate boundaries. And so the first week, I talked through the formula of how to set a boundary, which we're going to talk about in a little bit. And I talked about what a boundary looked like and how you might think about your boundaries. And I sent people off to kind of work on that during the week to practice. Because if you don't practice boundaries, it doesn't do any good just to talk about it. And the more we practice, the better we get. And so I sent them away, and a woman came back, and she stormed up to the front of the room at the beginning of the second session, and she put her finger in my face, which immediately said, okay, that's not okay. That's my boundary. Don't put your finger in my face. And so she put it down, and she said, I just want you to know that boundaries do not work. And I said, really, tell me what you mean by that. She said, I did those boundaries to my husband, and it didn't change a thing. And so I began that seminar by talking about the fact that boundaries are not something you do to other people. You do it for yourself. And so she was basically trying to chase him around and set a boundary that would get him to do something. It was done to him, not to keep him from doing something to her. So boundaries are for yourself, not something you do to the other person. Now, you may be saying, you can't do that behavior towards me. but it's not done to the other person. It's done to set your boundaries. I was not saying to my neighbors, and specifically just to them, that they couldn't come in my yard. I was saying my yard is not an okay place. Now, you notice there's a very close correlation because I was still going to affect their behavior in my yard. And basically all they did was shift to other people's yards that they wandered in and out of. But that was the difference. And that's the difference for you. It's done for you. Now, the other person may have to change how they treat you, but it's not done to them. The motivation is to let them know how they have to treat you. Okay, another very important thing about a boundary is it's not a way to avoid difficult interactions. If you don't want to have a discussion with a spouse about maybe they want a divorce and you don't, you can't keep shutting it down by saying, you can't talk to me about that. Or maybe there's an emotional thing you need to talk about. You need to clear up something, and so it's going to be a painful conversation, and you don't want to have it, and so you keep saying, you can't say that to me. That's my boundary. That's not a boundary. That's making sure that you don't have difficult conversations that you don't want to have. How the conversation happens can be a boundary, but whether it needs to happen or not is not a boundary. Now, boundaries can help make difficult conversations easier. It moderates that process because you're not going to allow the person to yell at you, and you're not going to yell at them, and we're going to talk about why in just a minute. And so you might find some better ways of interacting that makes that conversation go better. But it doesn't take away the difficult parts. Remember, we all have difficult things to talk about, difficult emotional things that we need to talk about with our loved ones. And they can be very painful and necessary to talk about. So boundaries aren't about avoiding those interactions. It's deciding how those interactions need to happen, how you'll let that interaction be the case. So it's not a way to avoid a difficult interaction. At some points, when we're having difficult interactions that get out of hand and that begin to push against boundaries, then it may be a time to say, we need to come back to this when we're at a better place to talk about this. That's not avoiding. That's just making sure you're both calm enough to get through that. Okay, so then let's talk about what boundaries are not. Boundaries are not standards. So let's just kind of differentiate those two. Boundaries are what you will not let someone do to you. Standards are what you expect of yourself, of what you're going to live up to. So let's take maybe one that's common in parenting. You can't say to a child, you have to be honest to everyone around you. Now, let me phrase that differently. You can say it, but there's nothing you can do to enforce it. And when I say you can't say it, I mean you can't make it happen. Because honesty can be your standard, but you can't put it on your child as much as you would like. I'm not talking philosophically here. I'm talking practically. So let me tell you why. You can say to your child, if I find that you're lying to me, this is going to be the penalty. That's a boundary. But if you say, you have to be honest with the rest of the world, they can walk right around the corner and say a big, fat, bold lie to their best friend, to their little worst enemy. They could say it to their other parent or their grandparents or their teacher or the principal or their coach or their teammates. They can tell lies all over the place, and you haven't been able to stop it because they have to make a choice not to do that. That has to be their standard. And so you might share with them the importance of honesty. Understand, I don't mean you don't talk about those and what are important standards to you. You just have to recognize that you can't put your standard on them. They have to adopt it at some point. A boundary, though, is to say to a child, if you tell me a lie, this is what happens to you. This is what the penalty is. That's a boundary. Okay. And so you could also say, for instance, a standard, I am not going to yell at people around me. Now, this is Lee talking. I do believe that yelling is crossing a boundary. Now, that doesn't mean that I've never yelled at my wife, or I've never yelled at my kids, or I've never yelled at my dog. It just means that when I do that, I know I have violated a boundary, and I quickly apologize. I work hard to monitor other people's boundaries that I know they expect, just minimal boundaries I know they expect. But I also know there are times when I'm going to mess up. We all do. But my expectation of myself. My standard is I'm not going to cross other people's boundaries. And my boundary is I'm not going to be yelled at. So if somebody starts yelling at me, I quickly say, hey, you know what? We can either have a normal voice conversation or this is going to have to wait. Okay, that's setting a boundary. So the difference is what I expect of myself, that's a standard. What I expect the other person to do to treat me or not do, that's a boundary. The problem is we often forget our own boundaries and then put our standards on the other people. That never works. Philosophically, it would be great. I understand the sharing of our standards with our kids and what we want to have happen. But practically speaking, there's nothing you can do to enforce that because they go off into the rest of the world. And so how you decide to be interacting with the world, that's your standard. And we can always raise our standards. In fact, I always think that part of the process of saving a marriage is saying, okay, where have I let my standards drop a little bit? You know, that second step of saving your marriage, out of the three that I outlined, the second step is changing yourself. And often a change of yourself is elevating yourself up to a higher standard. It's also about deciding that you're going to be more clear about your boundaries, what you expect to be treated. Those two pieces are about how you can change how people interact with you and how your marriage goes. But I just want to be clear that those are separate things. Standards are what you own. Boundaries are what you expect others to treat you. Okay, so let's just talk a minute about those differences between personal boundaries and relational boundaries, because sometimes it's hard to figure out how to breach that gap. And one of the things that's very clear to me about boundaries is that we can only enforce the boundaries when we have decided what our boundaries are, when we've had some conscious thought about our own expectations. So let's talk about that a little bit. First thing is for you to think about what are your boundaries personally? What are you willing to allow others to treat you? And I don't mean others meaning the whole rest of the world. I mean the others around you, your friends, people you don't know, your spouse, everyone. What are the basics of how you're going to be treated? And there obviously are going to be some variations. You may take a much more heated discussion from a spouse than you would from a friend, because it's a much more important relationship, and sometimes you know that you have to get through that. But you may just say, you know what, my personal boundary is I will not be yelled at. So let me tell you a story about a person I had. She came to my office and ended up being working with a couple, but originally it was just her. And she and her husband had gotten into a very toxic relationship, and so I started talking to her about her setting her boundaries. And she was not doing a very good job. And so she came in and she said, and so I said, okay, so one of my basic points of boundaries is it's not okay for somebody to put a hand on you or throw something at you or threaten you out of violence. You know, if they put a hand on you lovingly, that's different. But if somebody is touching you in a violent way or throwing something at you or throwing something while you're talking, you know, in other words, being physically violent in some way, that to me is an absolute no boundary. In fact, when I talk about saving your marriage, if there is physical violence, my statement is, and I'm not talking about if, you know, somebody hits the wall out of anger one time or they throw a plate on the floor right underneath their feet or something one time. I'm talking about, you know, well, I'm talking about if they physically harm you one time, then it's time to get safe, not time to set a boundary, time to get safe. That's the absolute for me, is if somebody hurts you, that is a big enough violation that at that point you are done working on the relationship and you need to work on yourself and getting yourself safe. But if there is a level of that, so for this person, you know, they would get into a hostile argument and he would grab her shoulder, didn't hurt her, but it was in a threatening way. And she realized that wasn't okay. And so she set that as her first thing. Her first boundary was you can't, when we're in an argument, you cannot touch me at all. Okay, so he realized that that was not a good thing, and he knew that, and it wasn't a surprise. It needed to be set, but he knew it. And so he stopped that. And then he started calling her names. And so she came to me and she realized that him yelling at her and calling her names was not okay. Now, I'll give you a little clue. Yelling is a loaded term. Raising your voice is not. So I coach people that when they're setting a boundary, instead of using the term yell, don't yell at me. The term is don't raise your voice at me, because if you say don't yell at me, then we end up in a long discourse on the definition of yelling, which gets nobody anywhere and derails the process. So don't raise your voice at me is a boundary. Okay, so she set that boundary. And then he stopped yelling. He stopped calling her names, but he started using the initials of that those names. And he continued, and she realized that all he was doing was skirting her boundary, so she set that one. And over time, which is always true, she learned more and more about her boundaries. But the way you start by learning is by setting a boundary you can figure out quickly and not allowing that to happen. Okay, so let's talk about relational ones. And notice that in order to set your personal boundaries, you have to sit down and think about it. You have to ponder it. You have to decide what's going on that makes you feel threatened, that derails your process, and decide that's a boundary you can stop. The same is true for the relational part, except for it requires a conversation. What threatens your relationship? What might threaten your relationship down the road? If you're early enough in the relationship, it's always good to have it. In fact, when I work with couples premarital, then we have that discussion up front. How are you going to interact? You know, they often say, well, you know, we both have friends from before. Okay, which of these friends do you need to moderate that relationship? Because sometimes those friends can either be giving bad advice, or maybe they have some ulterior motive and more connection. What else? Okay, then they often say, well, you know, I have these activities. And so we talk some about the activities that are okay and not okay. And I want to know up front, because sometimes the other person will say, you know what, I can't abide by that. If you're going to continue that activity, if you're going to continue drinking like you do, or going to the strip club, or biking for 8 hours on, every afternoon, I am not going to be able to live with that. So then that begins to be a relational boundary issue that they need to decide up front. But there are other ones that are very important to discuss. Now we're in a world of social media. What's okay with friending people of the opposite sex, for instance, on Facebook? What's okay with discussions with old girlfriends or boyfriends? What's okay with texting? What's okay with Instagramming pictures? What's okay with Snapchatting? What's okay with communicating with other people in ways that are often used to undermine relationships, unfortunately? What's okay with that? What do you expect? How about at work? How you're going to interact with people that are of the opposite sex, if that's your orientation, or same sex, if that's your orientation. But how do you moderate that so you protect the relationship? How do you protect it from making sure that nobody is beginning to move into the relationship in ways that are threatening to the marriage? How do you say, you know, it's not okay to discuss these topics with other people? That's part of our relationship. And you can name the topics that you feel would be threatening and how they might be threatening. And it's what's important is for a couple to have that conversation. And if somebody says, you know what, this relationship is threatening to me, there needs to be a fair discussion about how you either make that relationship safe or you end that relationship. And one of the things I often hear is that people say, you know, I should not have to give up any friends for my marriage. I disagree. So let's just kind of clarify for that for a bit. There are times when somebody else can say that relationship seems to be a little threatening, and they can be dead on. Now, if there's somebody who's saying you can't have a relationship with anybody else ever, that's not what I'm talking about. But they may notice that there's something about that person. And I always recommend that if you want to keep a friendship of someone of the opposite sex, they at least need to become friends with the spouse. And it still needs to be monitored. You know, you need to be aware of that, because we as humans have one little thing that kind of throws us off. And that's the fact that our attractions to friends and attractions to potential mates are not very far removed. We all have a kind of a chemistry. And that chemistry can quickly get us into trouble, especially when we're not abiding by the boundaries. And that's why I talk about this boundary thing of having relational boundaries. Now, let's just be clear about this boundary thing, that setting relational boundaries requires both people to be attending to it. One person can't do that. So both people have to agree on how they're going to carry out those boundaries. So just like in the sense that this is not about doing it to somebody, but how do you do it for yourself and for the relationship and provide protection, it's the same with relational boundaries. How can two people decide we will protect our marriage? Because one central piece that I think has to be understood is that the marriage is the central relationship in your life. And when it's treated that way, then you start making decisions about other relationships based on the fact that this is the primary one. So what happens when you're in a troubled relationship? Well, the first thing you do before you start trying to suddenly create boundaries is you work on building the connection up. Because until there's connection, there's not going to be a willingness to involve oneself in the boundaries, unfortunately, but that's the case. So if you find yourself going, how can I deal with this other situation? It's too late. We should have had this conversation 10 years ago or 5 years ago or 2 months ago or whenever you should have had it. You're recognizing that. And now you say, what do you do now? You build the connection. Work on building the connection so that you're back to the place where the primary relationship is steady and sturdy. And then you can begin to say, this is how we are going to protect our relationship. Okay, so that kind of gives you some pieces. It requires discussions and thoughts about what your own personal boundaries are and what your relational boundaries are. Those are very important. So boundaries and standards, that we talked about that. Remember, boundaries are about respect. Now, standards are about self-respect. Standards are how you expect yourself. So you can respect yourself. What will you do in the world? Boundaries are about how others will respect you. And that's important to kind of have that distinction both in terms of the personal boundaries and the relational boundaries. So let me talk about the five truths of boundaries very quickly. First one, boundaries are our responsibility. It's each person's responsibility and a couple's responsibility, not the other person's. Whenever people have told me about how somebody is yelling at them and mistreating them, the first thing I say, it's your responsibility to teach people how to treat you. So boundaries are an individual person's responsibility. You can't expect somebody else to monitor your boundaries. Okay, number two, boundaries are only effective when they are protecting you, not when you're using them to control or manipulate. Whenever you move to that place of control and manipulation, you are not going to have effective boundaries because the other person is going to squirm and get away from it because they're going to feel the control. But if you use it as a way of protecting yourself, they have no choice but to monitor that. Okay, number three is that boundaries help you manage emotional states. When you are having a discussion that needs to be discussed, it gives you a way of making sure that each person is respectful of the other person and that when it begins to ramp up, when we get into that fight or flight mode that gets us into trouble, when we have that place where we're no longer about the topic but we're about winning, you can say, oh, time to take a break. Let's take a little break, a little distance from this, and let's start again. Okay, number four, boundaries must be repeatedly enforced. If you enforce a boundary today and then you let it slide for the next three or four encounters, then you shouldn't be surprised when it keeps happening. Boundaries are something you decide and then you keep doing, because when you do that, and this is number five, the fifth truth of a boundary is when you keep doing it, it will become a part of you and it will almost emanate from you. And if you're at a place where you haven't been creating boundaries and enforcing boundaries, that's going to feel very far off and going to feel impossible. And yet, if you look around, there is proof all around of people who let people know how to treat them almost unconsciously. They don't have to say, you know exactly how you're going to treat them. You can become that person when you repeatedly enforce your boundaries. You keep finding the boundaries you need to hold. And you let that become a part of your life, which leads us to how you do this. I'm going to say that there is a four-step process, and there's more about this in the Save the Marriage System and in the Relationship Rescue Blueprint. So you can find that in both those places. At Save the Marriage, you can grab the system. And so the four steps in setting a boundary. Number one is you ask. The ask means that you're asking a question. Did the other person realize they were doing that? So let's say that somebody is raising their voice at you. I love using this example because it's so common. And you say, oh, excuse me, do you realize that you've raised your voice at me? Okay, at that point, When you say that, most people are so surprised that they immediately back off and say, oh, I'm so sorry. But they may say, I did, and I intend on raising my voice, or I intend on yelling at you, which leads to step number two, which is you inform. Please do not yell at me. Do not raise your voice at me. And you please is just making it nice, but you may not. Okay, and so then that leads to step number three. If they continue, you may not yell at me. If you do, I'm leaving. I'm hanging up. I'm walking out the door. I'm taking a drive, whatever it is. So that's consequence if they still don't stop, and that's step number four. So ask, inform, demand, consequence. Ask, do you realize? It's a question. Inform, please do not. Demand, you may not. Number four is you implement the consequence. Now, the nice thing about this is if you think about that, ask, inform, demand, consequence, is you know that if it continues, you are removing yourself. So you don't have to get upset. You don't have to violate their boundaries. You don't have to respond in kind. You just know where you're headed. And once you know that, and once you trust yourself to enforce that, then it becomes much easier to hang in there, to keep giving them a chance until they don't. There is an exception. If there's physical violence, we go from one to four. And there is no asking. There is, I'm out of here. You may not hurt me. I'm out of here. Other than that, this usually works in a way of setting a boundary, and you might have to do it repeatedly. You might have to do it several times until they realize that you really are going to get to that consequence. And the way you deliver it is very important. It's not with sarcasm. It's not with anger. It's matter of fact. Kind of like me saying, hey, do you realize the sky is blue? Which unfortunately is not true today. But did you realize that we have clouds all around the sky? Might be more your case and certainly my case today. But hey, did you realize the sky is blue? Hey, did you realize you're raising your voice at me? Same tone. Nothing beyond that. Once you get to the place where you can deliver that, then you can begin to easily go through. And it's the same tone at each place. There's at no point do you then violate their boundary. Ask, inform, demand, consequence. Do you realize you're raising your voice at me? Please do not raise your voice at me. You may not raise your voice at me. And if you continue, I'm leaving. I'm leaving. One, two, three. Those are the pattern that you can begin to use to set boundaries all around you. And now you have some idea of what that boundary is, not just for you, but for your relationship and how you can sit down. And if you're at that point, to have a conversation with your spouse about how are the two of you going to protect your relationship? And if you're not, how are you going to build the connection between the two of you to get to the place where you both can have that conversation? Okay, so there you have it. There's the formula for setting that boundary. Now you know more about what that boundary looks like and how to help build that. And I want you to go and practice that. Just like I said to that person, you got to go practice. You got to go learn how to do these things. You got to go figure out the best way of getting that going. Now, I want to ask you for a couple of things. First, if you have an idea for a podcast, something you would like to hear me discuss. Now, this isn't a send me what's wrong with your marriage, but just get into some broader topics and maybe even some specific questions. But if you would send that to me, you can do that at my podcast address, podcast@savethemarriage.com. That's podcast@savethemarriage.com. That's a great way of letting me know what's making sense to you. And you can also leave it in the comments area below. I do read all the comments. I don't respond to all of them. I respond to lots of them. But you can always leave that comment. It'll also get to me. And if you're on the blog, that's a good place to do that. If you're listening on iTunes and you want to go to the blog, it's savethemarriageblog.com. That's savethemarriageblog.com. Now, some people are probably wondering about those three steps. If you're not familiar with my three steps, it's how to save your marriage in three simple steps. It's right now a Kindle book, but it's about to come out in paperback. We're just waiting for that final proof to go through, and it'll be in paperback. And you can find that very easily by going to savethemarriage.com/Kindle. That's savethemarriage.com/Kindle. Now, I've got one more favor. If you're on Twitter, I would love for you to help me spread the word about this podcast. And the way you can do that is very easy. Just type into your browser, savethemarriage.com/love, L-O-V-E, savethemarriage.com/love. And it's going to let you do a little love for this podcast and just give you a pre-populated tweet. All you have to do is hit send. You can change it if you want, but it lets people find us. And that helps us to spread the word about how people can work to save their marriage. If it's been helpful to you, it'll be helpful to others, and we ask you to help us spread the word. Also, if you have a chance, you're listening to the iTunes Store, please give us a review there. Please, that helps so much in iTunes. Go in and give us a review on the podcast and let us know what we can do. I wish you the best. This is Lee Balcom. Know that we're in your corner working to help you save your marriage. Take care.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.